Here we go!
All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort, with all long-suffering and teaching. Welcome to Straight from His Word with Dr. Dermothy Lavelle.
Dear Father, thank you for your love, your mercy, grace, your compassion. We thank you for loving Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and we thank you for the gift of eternal life. We thank you, Heavenly Father, we've been redeemed from the hand of the enemy. And Lord, today we offer the sacrifice of praise. You're worthy of all praise, you're worthy of all glory, and you're worthy of all honor. We thank you that you've redeemed us from the hand of the enemy and that the power of sin has been broken over our lives today. Lord, we thank you and we praise and we magnify your name today. You are worthy of all praise, you're worthy of all glory, and you're worthy of all honor. We thank you for the precious gift of the Holy Spirit, O God. And Lord, we say thank you. Thank you that you loved us enough to send your Son to die for us on the cross at Calvary. We thank you that the power of sin has been broken over our lives today. And Lord, I give you praise and I give you glory and I give you honor. I thank you for your healing anointing being released to drive out the spirit of sickness, disease, and infirmity in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank you, Lord God, for the gift of faith being activated in the hearts and the lives of your people. I pray, Lord God, that the gifts of healing and miracles will be activated in the lives of your people, that we might be able to go and to be a blessing to those that are hurting, to those that are sick. I thank you, Lord God, for granting healing and deliverance of lung cancer, of emphysema being healed in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. God, I thank you for that sciatic, a person been suffering with that sciatic nerve pain. I thank you for them being healed in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. God, I thank you for the spirit of oppression being broken over the life of that individual right now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. God, I thank you for that yoke in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, I thank you. And Lord, I give you praise and I give you glory and I give you honor in the precious and the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, let your blessing be upon this broadcast today. And Lord, I thank you for releasing your angels to push back the forces of darkness over this area, over this region, that the strong men would be bound in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that yokes would be destroyed because of the anointing of the Holy Spirit. God, I thank you and I give you praise and I give you glory and I give you honor in the precious and the mighty name of Jesus. Amen, amen, amen. Praise the Lord, saints. Welcome to Straight From His Word. It's a blessing to be here with you once again to share the word of God. Truly, we serve a mighty God, and I'm just grateful and thankful for God's mercy and for God's grace. I'm just thankful that I have an opportunity to be here on the airways with you to share the word of God. Truly, we serve a mighty God, and God is great. To the first-time listeners, God bless you. Thank you for tuning in to Straight From His Word. I give it to you straight with no sugar added. Amen. I give you that little disclaimer. I'm not the typical radio preacher. I just tell it like it is. You know, I give you chapter and verse. I say my little two cents and then let the word of God speak for itself. If you struggle with something, pray, get on your knees and seek the face of God. You know, you hear me say this over and over again. We're living in the last days, and we are, and in perilous times. The Bible said that in the last days, things were going to get worse, not better. And we're seeing the fulfillment of Bible prophecy as we look on the world scene and we see all the things that are taking place and realizing the fact that, you know, God has equipped us in the church, in the body of Christ, to be effective witnesses for Him. We're called to be in a relationship with Him. You know, we're in the series called It's Time to Press Into the Kingdom of God, and realizing that it's about being in a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, God the Father, through the power of the Holy Spirit. And it's about us walking in a covenant relationship with Him. It's about us not knowing of Him, but knowing Him. Because many of us, many believers, they've been preached a hybrid Christ, a hybrid Jesus, and not the Jesus of the Bible. You've heard me say this over and over again, that we've been preached a man-centered gospel and not a Christ-centered gospel. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men to me. And we are called to magnify the Lord Jesus Christ. And, you know, in reading and studying in the Gospel of John, in John chapter 16, Jesus was talking about that when the Holy Spirit of truth has come, He's going to testify of me. And you're going to hear me say this over and over again. And it's to equip you, saints. It's realizing the fact that the enemy has diverted our attention from being in a relationship with Christ, who we're called to be in Christ, to be his sons and his daughters. First and foremost, it's about being in a relationship with him. It's about knowing him as your Lord and Savior, not knowing of him, but knowing him and him knowing you. And God is calling us into that place of intimacy to where we will long to know him. You know, I believe that we need to fall in love with God all over again. I believe we struggle with loving God because we've not fallen in love with him and we've not been preached about who God is. You know, we've preached about purpose and destiny and prosperity and faith and all of those things. But none of that means nothing if you don't know Christ, if you don't know the God of the Bible. And if pastors and teachers and these prophets and apostles, if they're not exalting the Lordship of Jesus Christ, and if they're not preaching Christ, then how are you going to know him? You know, we are called to equip the saints. We're called to be in a relationship with the Lord God Almighty. And that's who God has called us to be, in a relationship with him, saints. And I'm just praying that every individual would have a desire and a hunger to know the Lord Jesus Christ and to say, God, I need to know you. And that's why we're in this series about pressing into the kingdom of God, because it should be our desire to have to know him. And that we should seek him with everything in us. All of our fervor, all of our passion should be devoted to knowing the Lord Jesus Christ in all of his fullness, saints. The purpose and the motivation of our lives should be to please him and to bring glory and honor to the Lord Jesus Christ. And understanding the fact that we should not let anything or anyone interfere with our pursuit of a closer relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. We've been distracted. And we've been, you know, the enemy has taken us off of our game to where we are no longer pursuing a relationship with him. We're pursuing the purpose without the author of the purpose. We need to become sons and daughters of the Most High God. We need to get into a place of fellowship and a relationship with him, that we have a burning desire to know him. And we long to be in fellowship with him. Go with me to Psalm 42. This is one of my favorite passages of scripture. And I'm looking at this, and David, the sweet psalmist of Israel, he had a love and a passion for God, and God had a love and a passion for him. You talk about somebody having a heart after God. It was King David. And in Psalm 42, and this is what it says right here. There's a yearning for God. And it says, as the heart panteth after the water brooks. I'm in Psalm 42, verse number 1. As the heart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. You ever want something so bad that you're just driven to go get it? You know, sometimes we have, you know, certain food cravings. And he said, man, I sure would like to have me some Church's chicken or some Popeye's chicken. And you will go get in your car and you will go get it. And it says, my soul, your soul is your mind, your emotions, your will, everything on the inside of you is just saying, God, I need to know you. God, I need more of you. And what we have experienced in the church today, the enemy has lied to the people of God and said it doesn't take all of that. And, you know, you don't want to be a Jesus fanatic and all of this other type of foolishness. But you know what? I'd rather be a fan of Jesus than a fan of a football team or a baseball team or a hockey team. I am a fanatic for Jesus. I am going to pursue him with everything on the inside of me. And the scripture goes on to say here, my soul is thirsting. You ever wanted something cold to drink? You know, you got in the sun and you just get thirsty, and or you have your favorite beverage and you just like, you know, this, you have this thirst. And you say, you know what? My soul, my mind, my emotions, my will is thirsting for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before my God? Say, God, I'm longing for you, God. I need to be in your presence, oh God. Lord, I need to behold your glory, God. I need more of you in my life, God. And, you know, we get to the place, and I don't know about other believers, but me, it's just like that's just a heart cry for me to say, Lord, I need more of you. Lord, do I know you? Lord, save me. You know, y'all heard me say this. I had this conversation with my son, my little 13-year-old. He'd be like, Daddy, you already saved. Why you keep asking God to save you? I said, baby, I just want all that God wants me to be. You know, I want to be in that place. I want to be in that place, and I want God to fan that desire and that burning desire to know him. And I'm praying, and I pray that those that are listening to the show, that God would begin to fan the flame, that your hunger and your desire to know him will increase as you pray and as you seek his face. In Psalm 63, another one of my, and this is when David was in the wilderness of Judah, in Psalm 63, verse number 1, he says, Oh God, you are my God. You are my God. Early will I seek you. You know, and it's amazing about the early seeking of God is just when it's the quietest time. And what I used to do when God had me living by faith, at midnight, I would pray. At midnight, I would get in my word and I would read and I'd study and I'd stay up to 2 and 3 o'clock in the morning just praying and reading the word of God. Then I would go to bed. That was my early time of seeking God. And I know sometimes it's hard for us to do that, but I would encourage you, you know, to get up 15 minutes early than what you normally get up, and spend that time with God and start your day out with God through prayer and praise and worship and devotion, and it will begin to pay benefits in your life. You know, a lot of times when I minister and people wonder, you know, how is he able to minister like this? It's because that time spent in the secret place of just dwelling in the presence of God. Sometimes, you know, just listening to your favorite praise song, your favorite worship song, and singing it to the Lord. Sometimes you're just reading your favorite Bible passage of scripture. And sometimes you're just sitting there saying, Lord, here I am. God, here I am. But David said, Oh God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul, once again, our mind, our emotions, everything on the inside of me. You know, God says, if you want to love me, you got to love me with everything on the inside of me. And I believe that we need a revelation of who God is. We need a revelation of God's holiness. We need a revelation of who he is. And I believe if we can get that revelation, we can begin to experience personal revival because we have a revelation of who he is. Because look what he says, my soul is thirsting for you, my flesh is longing for you in a dry, in a thirsty land where there is no water. You know, my flesh, you know, the Bible talks about the works of the flesh, and you know, sometimes the works of the flesh, we have certain cravings for certain things. We have food cravings, and we have physical cravings, and we have cravings. And we have the desire, and those cravings, those desires can become so strong that we begin to pursue after those things. Well, here David was saying, my flesh is longing after God. I want more of God than anything else. And he's saying, God, I need you to reveal yourself to me, God. That's what I need. And that's what the sweet psalmist of Israel was talking about here, is saying, God, I need more of you. And he says, and this is what I want to see happen. I want to see your power and your glory. So as I have seen you in the sanctuary, because your loving kindness is better than life. Wow. And my lips shall praise you. Now, I want to concentrate here on verse number 2. There is a lot of sickness and disease in the body of Christ. There are many believers that are struggling with some type of sickness, some type of illness. They're on some type of medication. We serve a God of power. The church was established in power. And I personally believe we're not seeing the manifestation of the power of God, one, because the church has been disobedient. We've set up these man-made structures that is full of the wisdom of man and not the power of God. We have grieved the Holy Spirit of God, and we've not allowed the Holy Spirit of God to be God in our lives and in the church, in the midst of the sanctuary. We have programmed him out of our services, and there is no longing for the people of the people of God to see God's power. And I'm saying this as a collective, as a whole, because we have many denominations that do not believe in the power of God. We want his presence, but we don't want his power. The presence brings the power because God is a God of power. The church was established in power and authority. And I believe that we as a collective group of believers, as we begin to say, Lord, we want to see you move. God, we want to experience a demonstration of your power and your authority. Lord, it is only by your power, by your anointing, by your Holy Spirit, that we will begin to see genuine miracles and healings and deliverance that we saw take place in the book of Acts. We should be experiencing more of the power of God. You know, we go to church services and we say, oh, the presence of God is here today. Was the presence of God really in your service today? Was anybody delivered and set free today? Was somebody truly converted and baptized and saved today in the power of the Holy Spirit of God? Did you see a blind eye open? Were deaf ears opening? You see, when I read the book, I said, this is the God of the Bible. This is the church that God had established, Jew and Gentile merged together as one and proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ as one, proclaiming the lordship of Jesus Christ as one, because the church is a church of power. But we have grieved the Holy Spirit of God because we've been disobedient. Even God's government, we have not established a church according to God's government, even the qualifications for leadership. Oh, Lord, saints, you know, we just need to get back to doing it God's way. He said, I want to see your power and I want to see your glory. There's not a lot of preaching on the glory of God. There's so much that we need to do as pastors and teachers in bringing people into a relationship with Jesus Christ and with God the Father. That's why I tell people, study the Gospel of John, because as you study the Gospel of John, you will see the relationship Jesus had with the Father through the power of the Holy Spirit. Everything Jesus referenced in the book of the Gospel of John was about the Father, this, the Father, the Father, the Father, the Father, heart of God. The Bible tells us, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes should not perish but have everlasting life, realizing the fact that God made the ultimate sacrifice to send his Son to come and die for us here on the cross at Calvary. God manifested in the flesh, came and walked among us. It tells us that in John chapter 1. And he did it because he loved us. He wanted us to redeem us from the power of sin. He wanted us to bring us out of darkness and to break the yoke of oppression and depression that the enemy had bound the people up in. Because people are bound by a spirit of oppression and depression, people need to be delivered and set free. You probably say, why did God has blessed me with a deliverance? He's given me an anointing for deliverance ministry. You say, what does that mean? That basically means if the enemy has you bound up with something, when I'm standing and when I'm ministering, the Lord has gifted me to be able to pray for people to be delivered and set free from whatever it is that had them in bondage and captivity. But deliverance is a part of preaching the gospel. It should be the norm and not the exception. Because that's what Jesus said in John chapter 4. In Luke chapter 4, we'll go there in just a second. It says, because your loving kindness is better than life. I'm in verse 3, Psalm 63, verse 3. My lips shall praise you. Thus I will I bless you while I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. My soul shall be satisfied with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall show praise with joyful lips. When I remember you upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches, because you have been my help, therefore in the shadow of your wings will I rejoice. My soul falleth hard after thee. Thy right hand upholdeth me. Wow. How was David able to have this type of relationship with God without the Bible? You see, when we truly say, you know what, I want to know God, I want all that God has for me, and you truly begin to pursue and seek a relationship with the Lord God Almighty, you know, you will experience God. God will seek you out. As you seek him, it says, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. And, you know, I was reading something in the scripture. I want to go back here to Luke chapter 4 real quick. And we'll see what saith the scripture. I pray you're getting something. It's saying you're listening to straight from his word. I tell it like it is. We got to be a Bible-centered people of God. We got to get back to Bible basics. When Jesus stood up and he got the book and it says, in Luke chapter 4, verse 16. It says, and he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, as his custom was. And he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah, so Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he turned to the place where it was written. And he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty to them that are bruised, to those that have been crushed, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Jesus said, this is my mandate. This is my purpose. This is why I am here. And we have been given the very same commission to preach the gospel to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, and to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind. And to set at liberty those that have been bruised, those that have been oppressed, those that have been crushed. That's who he's called us to do, saints. He's called us to be deliverers, to preach the message of deliverance, to preach the message of healing, to preach the message of restoration, to preach the message of reconciliation, because when Jesus died for us on the cross at Calvary, it was to reconcile us back to God, to bring us back into fellowship with God, because that fellowship was broken when Adam and Eve disobeyed God in the Garden of Eden. But God has called us to the ministry of reconciliation, bringing back the people into that relationship with him. That's who God has called us to be, saints. This is what ministry is. Ministry is not pretty. It's ugly. Because when you truly go in and begin to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ with power and authority, and you yield it to the Holy Spirit of God, there's going to be a confrontation with the kingdom of darkness. And when there's a confrontation with the kingdom of darkness, the devil is going to manifest itself, and it's going to be ugly. It's not going to be pretty. We see all of these people that are strung out with drug addiction and alcoholism, and people walking around that are bounded by a spirit of mental illness, and God has equipped us. You see, the ministry needs to be taken outside of the four walls. But what's so amazing about it, we have people inside the four walls that are just as messed up as the people out there on the street. I wish somebody would say amen. But God has equipped us, and he's given us this authority for us to be able to walk in this ministry and this authority to be able to pray for people, to pray for our coworkers, to pray for our family members, and to be bold about it. And not be ashamed of who we are in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is who God has called us to be. We have to get to the place to where first and foremost that we are seeking a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. We are pursuing him with everything on the inside of us. And we're not going to be satisfied until we get to the place to where God begins to reveal himself to us. And we truly begin to know him as our Lord and as our Savior. And yet you know that you know that you know. And you get to that place by taking the time to spend time in your word, spend time in prayer, spend time in praise, spend time in worship. And then learning to be led by the Holy Spirit of God, because we're called to live a spirit-led life. This is, and what the Holy Spirit will do, he will draw you and he will beckon you to come into the secret place to where you can begin to enjoy the presence of God and enjoy the fellowship with God. And as you are enjoying the presence and the fellowship of God, God will begin to purge you. God will begin to break off of those things that have held you in bondage, that have held you in captivity, because God is a deliverer. God is a healer. And when he sent his son to die for us on the cross at Calvary, for every person, for every individual, it doesn't matter what state or what condition you're in. When Jesus came and died on the cross at Calvary and was raised again on the third day, it was for your redemption, for your healing, and for your restoration. Saints, I can't finish this today. Be praying for me at Straight Word Christian Ministries. Need your prayers. Need your financial support. Know that Jesus Christ is Lord, return imminent. Be praying for the peace of Jerusalem as the Bible commands you to command us to do so. And the Spirit of God moves you to bless the ministry financially. We need your help. We need your financial support. Pray for your family members that their hearts be open to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. I love you. Jesus Christ is Lord. His return imminent. Shalom.
You've been listening to Straight From His Word with Dr. Dermothy Lavelle. If you'd like to contact Pastor Dermothy or send him a gift of support, the address is Straight Word Christian Ministries, P. P.O. Box 25348, Federal Way, Washington 98093. That's P.O. Box 25348, Federal Way, Washington 98093. Or you can call 253-431-7375. Again, 253-431-7375. On the web, it's straightwordministries.com. That's straightwordministries.com. Tune in again for more Straight from His Word with Dr. Dermothy Lavelle.